three retired men went on their annual moose hunt. As soon as they landed in Anchorage in Alaska, they hired a tiny bush plane to fly them deep into the wilderness. Before takeoff, the pilot welcomed them aboard, gave the safety briefing, and added sternly, "This is a very small plane. You can bring back one moose." One. Naturally, the hunters got carried away and shot three. When they hauled the moose back to the airstrip, the pilot turned pale. "I said, one moose." "That's exactly what you said last year," one hunter replied calmly. "But for an extra $100, you let us take all three." He handed over the cash. "So here you go, same deal." The pilot sighed, folded the money, and waved them aboard. A minute after takeoff, the plane crashed spectacularly. As the wreckage smoldered, one hunter crawled out, dazed and bleeding. He looked around and asked, "Where are we?" Another hunter squinted at the twisted metal nearby and the scattered moose bones and muttered, "About several hundred yards from where we crashed last year." People often become desensitized to the importance of safety and rule following. And by the time they realize the risk, it's usually too late, leading to unavoidable consequences. This pattern appears in believers' spiritual lives too. When believers distance themselves from faith communities and neglect spiritual growth, they gradually become numb to God. They stop feeling the need for God and fail to recognize their spiritual brokenness. Over time, this spiritual numbness creates a gap between believers and God. I refer to this condition as spiritual leprosy. The gospel lesson this morning highlights a deep truth about this and provides a powerful way to identify issues in today's believers and churches. Leviticus chapter 13 and 14 offer detailed instructions on leprosy. People, clothing, and homes with leprous signs were examined by priests over 7 days. If symptoms remain, the person was declared unclean and isolated from the community. They had to wear torn clothes, shave their heads, and shout, "Unclean!" Garments were burned, and stones were removed from houses, and the wall was scraped up. Then the stones and debris were thrown outside the city. If the symptoms did not improve, the house was demolished and everything was discarded outside the city. These strict rules of isolation aim to control the disease's spread. Now, considering this text, read verses 11 through 13. Jesus traveled through the area between Samaria and Galilee. Galilee was mainly a Jewish region. Jews avoided Samaritans for various reasons. Samaritans, though Jews, were considered impure by the Jews due to their intermarriage practices. They had different worship practices. Samaritans worshiped on Mount Gerizim, whereas Jews worshiped in Jerusalem. The long-standing hostility between the two groups dates back to the split of Israel after Solomon. The story of the woman at the well in the gospel highlights its hostility. as the Samaritan woman was surprised that Jesus, a Jew, spoke to her, since Jews and Samaritans generally did not interact. As a result of this deep-seated hatred, the border area between Samaria and Galilee became a no-man's land. The 10 lepers likely lived in this region. The gospel described them standing far away and crying out loudly, "Jesus, have mercy on us." In Luke's account, the lepers followed strict procedures for isolation outlined in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, which explain why they were there and how they kept their distance from Jesus. Jesus instructed them, "Go, show yourself to the priest." This command aligned perfectly with the Leviticus rules. If and when the lepers were healed, the priest had to examine and declare them clean. Although all 10 were healed, only one returned to thank Jesus. What became of the other 9? The gospel does not specify, but it is easy to infer that they likely ran to the priest to get clearance to rejoin their families after their long isolation. While understandable from a human perspective, Jesus expected them to return and thank him as the one did. Why did Jesus hold this expectation? Was it necessary for the 9 to return to him? The answer lies in Jesus' word to the healed man, "Your faith has made you well." Jesus had already healed all 10. Did Jesus have to pronounce the healing again to the one who returned? Jesus pronounced an additional healing on him that others, those 9, did not get. So what kind of healing was the second one? Leprosy was hardly curable, and living in isolation became the leper's way of life. Unexpectedly, the 10 lepers were cured of the disease and restored to relationship with loved ones. They thought all they needed was taken care of and underestimated the life of isolation from God. They felt it was natural to continue their lives in isolation from God. But the Samaritan leper who returned to Jesus was reconciled to God and received healing from spiritual leprosy. After all, Jesus is the high priest who can heal and pronounce the cure. And the Samaritan leper did the right thing. What is spiritual leprosy? The gospel lesson illustrated as a life marked by separation from God. Similar to the 9 who were physically healed but remained spiritually afflicted, people might appear healthy but suffer internally because they are distanced from God, much like those lepers were. Those with spiritual leprosy often see isolation as their default way of life. They turn to God only during crisis, crying out in trouble, but quickly withdrawing once the danger passes. Leprosy affects more than skin. It damages nerves. Similarly, believers with spiritual leprosy lose their spiritual sensitivity, feeling numb towards God. They may have strong relationship with loved ones, but neglect their connection with their Creator and Healer, feeling no guilt about this spiritual disconnect. Many believers in the Western Hemisphere seem to suffer from spiritual leprosy. They once were strong in faith, but are disconnected from their church or faith community and neglecting their spiritual growth. Just as physical health depends on regular exercise and good nutrition, spiritual well-being requires ongoing faith practices, and nurturing. Without this maintenance, believers risk losing their connection to God entirely. Once they've fallen into this non-maintenance state, living in spiritual isolation feels so natural that recovering spiritual health becomes as challenging as curing physical leprosy. Let me take one example of spiritual leprosy from churches and believers in former East Germany. The Protestant Reformation began when Martin Luther posted the 95 theses on the doors of the Castle Church in Wittenberg in East Germany in 1517. While hiding from the threat, Luther translated the Bible into German. Until then, the Bible was available only in Latin, which educated priests could read, not the lay people. So lay people had little knowledge of the Bible for that reason. They didn't have the access to the Latin Bible, and even if they did, they could not read. This is why the Catholic Church could sell indulgence, telling people that they could reduce the punishment of sin and ultimately save them from damnation. And people could not tell apart if they were telling the biblical truth. After Luther's German translation, an average people in Germany could read and understand the Bible, which became the major driving force of the Reformation. Additionally, Johannes Gutenberg's invention of the movable type printing press, developed half centuries earlier, was very instrumental to spreading the 95 Theses, the German Bible, and much more. You know, they could just print out those Bibles and then distribute. People could read them. It was easily, readily accessible. As a result, the Lutheran Church in Germany grew very rapidly in northern, central, and eastern Germany. And unlike other areas, you know, where the Catholic were predominant, those areas, Catholic became minorities then. And Lutheran churches continued to grow until the first part of the 20th century. See that the powerful presence of the Protestant churches? Guess what happened after that? I mean, they grew up until the beginning of the 20th century. After the World War II, the Soviet Union ruled East Germany and created the German Democratic Republic in 1949 as a communist state. Thanks to the, I mean, you know, when the communists took over, they suppressed the Christian altogether, right? Thanks to the U.S. leadership and countless demonstrations, East Germany collapsed on October 3rd, 1990, after 41 years of religious suppression under the communist regime. Christianity in East Germany was reduced to near spiritual death. despite the fact that Wittenberg was the cradle of the Reformation and Christianity in East Germany flourished for centuries. On the magazine Christianity Today, in the issue of October 2009, they ran an article as follows. Reverend Ulrich Parzani, who succeeded Billy Graham as the main speaker at pro-Christ evangelistic meeting, stated, "I was standing in front of a Berlin church as some young adult passed by. Referring to the giant crucifix over the entrance, one of them asked, 'Who is that guy hanging up there?'" You know, the half of the city of Berlin belonged to the East Germany, right? And there's no doubt that those young men were from East Germany. Europe has experienced numerous reforms and general revival. However, if they do not hold on to God as always, spiritual leprosy is a natural consequence for them. Now it's been 25 years since the Berlin Wall fell, and yet less than 20% of Christians in former East Germany are estimated to remain, possibly even lower. Spiritual leprosy out of isolation from God is contagious. You know, as the leprosy was very contagious, and that's why Moses put a very strict rule of isolation for those who had that disease. Spiritual leprosy is very contagious as well. And has spread among European churches. I pray that U.S. churches remain unaffected by this disease. As a church and individual believers, we must check whether we are infected with this spiritual ailment, harboring stubborn spot where we insist on our way despite what the Bible teaches, and stay away from God of salvation. In Ezekiel 11:19, God declares, "I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh." This is my prayer for us personally and for our churches. Heal us, Lord. Remove the hardened heart. Grant us a new tender heart and bring us back to you and your word. Amen.